so we've got a prophecy here that doesn't fit today. It does not fit the eternal state. And so where in the world are you going to place it? And the only place it logically fits is in the thousand-year kingdom. Because you see, the thousand-year kingdom is a unique time in biblical history where the curse is curtailed but not eliminated. It's rolled back to some extent, but it is not eradicated. And essentially what you're going to have is we will go up with the Lord in the rapture. We return with the Lord to the earth to rule and reign, and we will be in resurrected bodies. But you see, there's going to be a lot of folks that are converted to Christ through the ministry of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists after the church is gone. Many of them will be killed, but others will make it to the end of the millennial kingdom. And they will sit before the Lord at the sheep and goat judgment, which is described in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And that whole judgment is to ascertain, are these people believers, sheep, or are they goats? If they're goats, they're cast off the earth into Hades. If they're sheep, they enter the millennial kingdom in mortal bodies, non-resurrected bodies. And they will have children. And their children will have children. And their children will have children. And what is passed on through the bloodstream? The sin nature. So what you're going to have in the... And this is why Jesus has to reign with a rod of iron. Because there's still rebellion that has to be kept in check. So it's an interesting time in history where you've got resurrected people, us, and non-resurrected people living together. And you say, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. Can I get my money back for this camp? But think about Acts 1. Jesus is in a resurrected body, isn't he? Is he not conversing with his disciples? Actually sharing a meal together and so forth, instructing them, they're in non-resurrected bodies. So that parallel is carrying on into the millennial kingdom. So the millennial kingdom is an interesting time where the curse is rolled back to some extent but not eradicated. Isaiah 65 is talking about a time period where the curse is rolled back but not eradicated when you look at the details of the passage. The only place this fits, a passage like this, it's not today, not in the eternal state, but only fits the thousand-year kingdom. The millennium is in Revelation 20. The eternal state is in Revelation 21 and 22. In the millennium, sin is restrained. In the eternal state, sin is removed. In the millennium, the curse is restrained. In the eternal state, the curse is removed. In the millennium, you still have death. Mortals who repopulate the earth will die at some point. They'll live long, but they're still death. Eternal state, no death. Revelation 21:4. Millennium, mortals and resurrected people are living together. In the eternal state, everyone's resurrected. In the millennium, you still need to evangelize. Because the millennium begins with all mortal believers, but they're going to have children who need the gospel. And grandchildren that need the gospel. But you see, in the eternal state, there is no evangelism. Everybody's destiny is sealed. See, there are certain things we can do now that we can't do in eternity. One of those things is evangelism. The millennium is a renovated earth. The eternal state is a totally new earth. The millennium is temporary. It lasts 1,000 years. The eternal state lasts forever. The millennium is transitional. Mark Hitchcock, who you've had here as a speaker, kind of calls it the front doorstep to the house. The house is the eternal state, but the eternal state is non-transitional. They shall reign forever and ever. In the millennium, there's time, 1,000 years. In the eternal state, there is no time. It goes on forever and ever. In the millennium, there's a temple. Ezekiel 40 through 48, not in the eternal state, no temple. Revelation 21, 22. In the millennium, there's death. In the eternal state, there is no death. In the millennium, there's satanic activity. Satan, as we read, is released for one last hurrah at the end. But in the eternal state, there's no more Satan. Won't that be nice? In the millennium, there's rebellion at the very end. Not amongst us in resurrected bodies, but amongst the descendants of those who entered the millennial kingdom in mortal bodies. But in the eternal state, there is no rebellion. So, I've got some prophecies here that really don't fit today. They really don't fit the eternal state. The only place they're logically ever going to fit is in the millennial kingdom. Some other prophecies are in that same vein. See, there are many I could show you. I'm just showing you a couple. One is in Zechariah 14:16-19, where people at the Feast of Booths will not want to go and worship Jesus in Jerusalem. And Jesus immediately deprives them of rain. In this case, I'm talking about R-A-I-N. So they're immediately brought into judgment for that decision. That can't be the eternal state. There's no rebellion in the eternal state. And the priest that's offering the sacrifices in the millennial kingdom, Ezekiel 45:22, says he has to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. Now this creates a real theological debate. What do you do with these sacrifices in the millennium? And it's not my subject, so I will completely avoid it at this time. But it does say, on that day the prince shall provide himself and all the people a land and a bull for a sin offering. You're not going to have... I look at these sacrifices as sort of a memorial. They're looking back to what Christ did. But you'll notice that it's a sin offering. There is no sin offering in the eternal state because there's no more sin. Ezekiel 45:22 only fits the millennium. It doesn't fit the eternal state. It doesn't fit today. Same with Zechariah 14:16-19. Now, we've looked at the Abrahamic covenant, haven't we? How it's unconditional and unfulfilled. Where was God? Where did God tell Abram to walk around? He told him to walk around the land he would inherit. Genesis 13:17. That cannot be a prophecy for the eternal state, because the eternal state is a totally different world. The Abrahamic covenant has to be fulfilled on this soil. The millennium involves the present earth, the eternal state, a new earth. The millennium involves water. Did we not read about the river of Egypt and the Euphrates? What did John see in the eternal state? No sea. The millennium involves rebellion, as we studied. No rebellion in the eternal state. The millennium involves the distribution of tribal land. I have all the verses that show all these things. There is no tribal distribution in the eternal state because the city gates are named after the 12 tribes. Sin exists in the millennium, but not so in the eternal state. A temple exists in the millennium, but not so the eternal state. Jesus has to rule with a rod of iron in the millennium, but not so the eternal state. Death exists in the millennial kingdom, but not the eternal state. Did you know that the sun in the millennial kingdom is going to be amplified 7 times its present rate of brightness? Isaiah 30:26. That can't be the eternal state, because there is no sun, S-U-N, in the eternal state. And here's what our critics say. They say the only scriptural basis for this theory, premillennialism, is Revelation 21-6. We are ridiculed as being having a one-text theology. The only verse you guys have is Revelation 20, which talks about a thousand-year kingdom. May I say that that is such a distortion of what the Bible says. The whole doctrine of the millennium is carefully developed in the Old Testament. The only thing John does is he comes along and he says it's going to last 1,000 years. That's the only detail he adds. But the whole concept of the earthly kingdom, as we've been looking at various passages, is very well laid out in the pages of the Old Testament. So the millennium has to exist to fulfill God's purposes. I'll give you a fourth reason for the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom must exist to fulfill God's purposes for the nation of Israel in general, and specifically the city of Jerusalem. The day will come when Israel will be the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:13. The day will come when, as Zechariah 8:23 says, In those days, 10 men from all nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.